Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. All right, then. Coming up this hour, we got today's top five Simpsons episodes of all time, picked by Mr. Matt Groening himself in honor of his 50th birthday, which was this past weekend. Have more email and all this stuff coming up as well. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. I was just thinking, we were just talking about dates, and I do. It should be noted, by the way, that for Valentine's Day, Jolie was taken to a sushi restaurant in a strip mall. We did talk to her about this on Friday. It's a play, and I'm not making this up. I was just sort of pondering this during the break. She's taken to a... It's in Gresham to begin with. Like, let's think about just the concentric circles of hell here. Happy Valentine's Day. I'm taking you to Gresham. So, she goes to Gresham to a strip mall, and she knew this in advance. See, that's the bizarre thing about Jolie. Is that she knew in advance that this was going to be here. And she was all, like, really passionately excited about it. It's called Sushiville. You can't be excited about any place that's in a strip mall. You know what I mean? It's just like a rule. It's not going to work. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
A local woman wins big on The Price is Right. She was wearing an I Love Bob t-shirt, and that helped Portlander Kerry Palmer be told to come on down. She was celebrating her 30th birthday, jumping with excitement, when she guessed the exact price in contestants' row, earning her $500 in cash. Next, she won a spa plane coming or going. She then spun the big wheel and earned a spot in the showcase showdown. Her guess was closest, and she took home even more fabulous prizes.
Because if you're within $100 without going over, you win both showcases.
Yep.
Where is she from?
Portland.
See, I don't know if this is a generational thing or whatever, but I think like a lot of people my age group, I harbor all of these fantasies about going on The Price is Right. And not really any other game show. I mean, you know, there's Jeopardy, upon which I would reign supreme. But especially, man, it's like, I don't know if they let normal people go on Rock and Roll Jeopardy, or if it's all celebrities. And there was this time when I was watching Rock and Roll Jeopardy on VH1, which I think is gone now. I think Rock and Roll Jeopardy has been taken away. As has Behind the Music. Have you noticed that Behind the Music no longer exists? It's one of those things that you sort of think is on all the time because it was forever, but now it's sort of vanished into the ether. But, I mean, you know, I think I probably do okay on Jeopardy, but I have, like, a fetish about it. I have this complete fetish about going, and I have a whole, I have the entire hierarchy of Price is Right games, which I would wish to play. They're all mapped out in my head. It's all about that game where you take the big, huge dice and you throw them on the table. There's that, and then there's the, what's the game with the mountain climber guy, and he goes up, and then you try to get him up the mountain without falling off? You know what I'm talking about? There's that. And then there's Plinko. What? I don't think it's called the Alps. I forget what it's called.
Alpine Climber or whatever.
It's something or other. And then there's, of course, Plinko, which is everyone's favorite Price is Right game. I think that's a thing that maybe only Matt and I care about. Not a thing. Can't wait. Here's Tim Riley.
The war on drugs is killing Washington asparagus market. The lawmakers at Olympia calling on Congress to repeal a trade agreement, critics say, is hurting the state's asparagus industry. The legislature has passed a joint resolution proposed by United Farm Workers and AFL-CIO, urging Congress to repeal the Andean Trade Preferences Act, which is meant to give farmers an alternative to cocaine production. Critics say it's led to year-round asparagus industries sprouting up in Peru that's threatening Washington's market. So there. Next news, when it happens, I'm Tim Riley.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. I don't know. I think it may, in fact, only be me. But I do have this. There's some small part of me that won't really be satisfied until I get to go on and spin the big, the Price is Right wheel. You know what I'm talking about? So, you know,
Get into the showcase showdown.
That's what I'm talking about, man. I have this whole scheme on how to do it, too. It's all about wearing the Marine uniform. If you ever watch The Price is Right, you know the dudes in the military always get picked to be on that show. They always get picked to be brought down front. So I get this whole, I got it all planned out how I'm going to do it. I'm all over it.
I think it's about sliding like a 50 to the right guy is what it's about.
We've got this. This is from Aaron, Geek in the City. Rick, dear God, the truth hurts. I don't even live with my woman, and yet I sit in my, quote, office in the basement, surrounded by graphic novels, action figures, and my poster art, drafting the maps to this weekend's Dungeons & Dragons games. He has a roommate, of course. I can't even listen to you on my real stereo because a While You Were Out marathon is on. Being a dude blows. Oh, wait, we don't get birth and we get paid more. Never mind. Aaron, geek in the city. P.S. F. Matt with my sweet taxpayer-funded day off.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
No, there's just, and I don't mean to make it sound like it's, you know, just sort of a trade-off, you know, it's sort of a yin-yang thing. But I was telling these guys during the break that there does come this sort of moment of realization. It's, you know, the moment of clarity. And it's like when I'm at the Storables this weekend, though, and I'm sitting there and I'm looking around at the boxes and looking at the, like, whatever, like the entertainment center that's hollowed out of a single redwood somewhere that can be yours for just $1,400. And then I hear the person next to me go, do you want to go next door and get a vegan wrap? Anytime you're in a place where they're selling a vegan wrap next door, you know that you've crossed a line somehow. You've entered some sort of a new and less exciting phase of your life. That's what's happened. All right, and we're going to end that now. All right. We've got this subject line, top five. This is not about The Simpsons. This is about last week. Chris said, last week I heard Sheryl Crow's birthday mention. Are you ever going to do top five rock chicks? No, we're not, because the list needs to be longer than 10 seconds long. Bada bing, bada boom. So that's why don't give me the look. Don't, it's just, I've tried. Look, can we do top five lists one of these days that I've tried to make happen that I just haven't been able to bring together? There's top five lists. It's like I've talked high and low about the fact that we've wanted to do top five television themes, top five television, which is a list of such gigantic complexity and enormity that it can't be done. The top five television themes, and we've had literally, probably at this point, hours of man hour, of man work, have gone into trying to create top five television themes. The best we could ever do is to break it down by decade. I mean, that's the closest we ever got, is to try to come up with top, but it's like, you know, just Norman Lear alone. I mean, the Jeffersons, you know, alone right there, you know, they blow the entire curve for everybody, because it's like nothing measures up to that. There's no television theme that measures up to that. So the closest we've been able to get is taking television and breaking it down in like 5-year increments. You know, and beyond that, you know, I don't really know what we'd be able to do. So there's that. There's the, you know, we've talked about doing top five guitar solos of all time. We've talked about, these are all lists that are just so massive that we would have to expand it to like a top 10
top
to a top 15.
MCs.
Top five, yeah, top five rappers, because today's Ice-T's birthday. Today's 46 years old today. And we've talked about doing top five MCs in the rap world, but it's like, and you do these lists wrong, I mean, you see the amount of hate mail and the amount of complaints. I mean, it got the Elton John thing. I mean, I'm still getting hate mail about it. And it's like 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, the complexity in putting together these top fives without being lynched by some of the more virulent members of the audience is, it's daunting at best. You know, but there's certain things you can just write off. Like top five women in rock. Because you can't count L7 as, I mean, they count as one person. You can't count everybody
you
in the group.
Shut up.
It's the only, I'm not what? It's not an insult.
Kristen said that she could put together a list.
No, there's no shame in saying that women just can't rock. It's just true, all right? Look, there's all kinds of things that we've just agreed to sort of pretend are true for the sake of getting along and political correctness. But that's one of those things that I just can't be a party to. It's a fiction that I'm not going to be part of propagating. This figment somehow that women are somehow, you know, rock capable. I mean, just because you got Joan Jett doesn't mean, you know, it's like, you know what I'm... You know, the NBA has John Stockton, too. It doesn't mean that white guys at 5'8 are going to take over the league. I'm sorry. There are things that are exceptions that prove the rule. And, you know, our friend Ms. Jett is one of them. Do I have any choice about whether to do this? All right. Let's welcome down to the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend Kristen from accounting.
You
look very nice today, by the way.
No, I don't. Don't really? Lie.
Okay.
Well, thanks.
Yes?
No, you're just so wrong.
About what?
About chick rockers.
No, I mean, there's
plenty of them.
There's the tiniest handful of chicks that are able to rock, but it's
There is at least a top five.
It's a small... Yeah, but it's a top five because there's only five. I mean, it's a top five. Look, and I don't want this to come off like I'm being some dick or something, or like I'm being sexist about it. It's just
funny,
a simple...
Funny, that's how it sounds.
It's not sexism. It's a simple statement of fact. White guys can't rap, generally. White guys can't rap. Chicks can't rock. It's just the way it is. And just pointing out that something is the case doesn't mean that I'm like a cretin for doing it. You know what I mean?
No.
Top five chicks who rock. Name them now.
No.
See if you can do five. See if you can
I'll
even come up with five.
I'll create a list for you.
Can anyone? I'll give you whatever pocket change I've got right now. You can come up with five chicks who rock.
Well, we mentioned a couple of them. I think Pat Benatar could count as a pretty good rocker.
Even grudgingly allowing Pat Benatar.
Come on now, Stevie Nicks.
Okay, hold on. Joan Jett.
Joan Jett, yeah.
Joan Jett, Pat Benatar.
Stevie Nicks.
I dispute that Stevie Nicks is really rock in the true sense. See, this is the thing. And do you ever, I mean, you watch VH1 when they do those, you know, they do the list shows. And VH1, they did this thing, I don't know, it was about 6 or 7 months ago, they did top 50 women in rock. And it's like the whole notion of there being a top 50 women in rock is retarded. And it's one of those things that's patently stupid. Because the only way, and again, I don't mean this to sound sexist. I'm not trying to be discriminatory. It's just that there's things that are true and there's things that are not true. The only way they can ever have enough women to create a top 50 women in rock list is to broaden the definition of rock, is to be so wide, is to include everything. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Because I think like
there.
Number four on the list was Madonna or something, and God love Madonna. I mean, I'm a large Madonna fan, perhaps larger than most. She's not rock. You know who else isn't rock? Aretha Franklin is not rock.
No, you're right. She's not rock.
You know, but these are all people that end up on the list, because otherwise it's just going to be like four people. That's it, man. So I'd give you Lita Ford. All right. So even counting Stevie Nicks, that's only...
And Sheryl Crow.
That's only... Sheryl Crow is indisputable. I'll completely give you Sheryl Crow.
Yeah.
All right.
Love her.
All right. So if we allow that Stevie Nicks is, you know, rock, which is questionable, you're barely scraping by with five there.
Because I'm always of the mind if you're wearing a dress, you can't really rock too much.
These are all things I'm saying.
You know,
Janis Joplin
I was not
doesn't
gonna
count
say,
either.
I know how Rick feels about her, but she rocked. In a bluesy kind of way. Because she would get up there and, you know, do her thing, and it was no holds barred, and, she could get up there and screech with the best of the guys.
I don't really know that me and Bobby McGee is going to compete with any AC/DC song for rock honors. I mean, I guess women can rock sort of softly. You know?
Well, but isn't that the beautiful thing about them?
Women,
you know, you wouldn't really want a woman that looks like Angus Young.
You're making it a much larger thing than it is. I'm not trying to pick a fight with it. I'm not trying
no,
to...
No, I understand.
Here's
the Madonna's kind of rock.
Here's an email. This one... Here's a great email. I just got this about subject line, women that rock. And then the email just says, shut your effing mouth.
Is that for me? Or
no,
you know?
It's from a woman. And I'm not trying to be a dick about it. I'm just, you know, nobody would quibble if I made the statement that white guys are bad rappers.
Well, and I'm sure there's some of the more current acts that maybe the kids might be down with that I might not be that are a little more rockin'. I don't know.
There's that. Then they all seem to end up in Christian bands, too. It's like Gwen Stefani always gets put on the list of women who can rock.
She kind of can.
You'd be wrong. You could say that,
really?
But you'd be... There's nothing rocking about No Doubt in any way.
No, I'm not a big fan, but...
Nothing, and there's nothing about her that rocks, even if they do. There's nothing about her that rocks. You can't...
Okay, I got nothing.
You can't wear spangly things in the middle of your forehead and also be a rocker. It's one or the other. My call screening software was freaking out today, by the way, so I'm having difficulty sort of... Is that Steve right there? Is that what that is? Steve, you're in Portland. You're on Hot Talk 98.2K. What's up?
Hey, Rick. It's Uncle Steve.
What do you got, man?
How about Chrissy Hynde from the Pretenders? You don't like the Pretenders.
It's not
British.
I'm not a big fan of the Pretenders.
Oh, I was going to say Chrissy Hynde. I love Chrissy Hynde. Well,
she rocks
too.
And I would say Wendy O would have to be number one on
Wendy
that list.
Wendy O. Williams
from the Plasmatics.
Okay, Brother, Wendy O. Williams is well pointed out.
Rip Stevie Nicks off that list big time and just put Wendy O, top of the list.
Wendy
O.
Williams
one.
Used to
no
go
question.
On stage with a chainsaw, used to blow stuff up on stage.
And she wore silver bras.
Yeah, no, and she overdosed, right? Didn't she overdose?
Yeah,
and they put on the best concert I had ever seen, without a doubt.
Yeah, no, if you you overdose, you're pretty much in. I mean, that is one of the hallmarks of being a rocker is, you know, overdose or, you know, like wrapping your car around something. All right, I'll give you Wendy O. Williams. All right, excellent. There you go. Here's the thing with putting the Pretenders on the list and using somebody like Chrissy Hynde is that...
Before she freaked out.
I'm just saying... The Pretenders are one of those groups that always, you know, that people sort of laud them as being a great rock group, when in reality, if that was a group consisting solely of men, no one would really consider them rock. They're sort of grandfathered in as rock, because the bar is sort of, you know what it is? It's like when you join the military as a woman and you have to do fewer push-ups and they're girl push-ups at that. It's sort of, the Pretenders are sort of the girl push-ups of the rock and roll world. You know what I mean? It's just... The standard isn't right. No, come on. If you bought an AC/DC record and it sounded like that, you'd want your money back. If you said, no, I'm going to go pick up the new Slayer record, and you put it in and it sounded like the Pretenders, would you, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things they show on Headbangers Ball. The Pretenders aren't one of them. You know what
well,
I mean?
It's, but once again, you're talking Headbangers. They're not a headbanger rock band.
Yeah, that's true. Is this on 3, Sarah? All right. Shane, you're in Portland. You're on Hot Talk 1080 KF2K. What's up?
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What do you got, man?
I just had a comment about Janis Joplin. The song Down on Me has crunchy guitar, lyrics about sex, and whiskey vocals. I mean, that's rock, man.
Well, and she did the... Did she overdose, or did she choke on vomit?
No, she overdosed.
She overdosed, but she could drink any man under the table, and she'd knock him out and take him home.
Yeah, all right. Well, she kind of had a skanky vibe to her, too. That's sort of rock and roll.
Lesbianism, what more do you want?
Was she a lesbian? She wasn't a lesbian.
She did. She
was with Pigpen from the Grateful Dead for a while.
I don't know, that almost disqualifies her right there. Any association with the Grateful Dead, I mean, you know, that's sort of... Almost by dint of that alone, I should take her back off the list. All right, Janis Joplin. All right. Well, because of the overdose, we'll put her in with an asterisk here. Overdosed. Was heroin, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's rock and roll. I'm pretty sure it was her.
No, that's rock and roll. Well done. Okay. Well done, Janis. All right.
Done.
We'll continue all this fun when we get back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk and Eddie KOTK.
Live from Portland. It's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I mean, men don't write folk music very well, and, you know, girls...
You just stop that.
I'm not doing anything.
You don't think Bob Dylan writes good folk music?
I'm not... There are exceptions, but I'm saying, look, I'm going to put two guys in front of you. One guy has tight jeans and a leather jacket and hair down to his ass, and the other one is a girl in a peasant dress who hasn't bathed in 3 months. Which one's the folk singer? I mean, it's the chick. You know it's the chick.
I don't understand the point of that, though.
I'm saying that there's certain things that we're not supposed... There's certain things we're not supposed to say, especially here in the enlightened, politically correct 21st century. And one of them is that there's certain... You know, there are things you can tell about someone just by dint of how they look or who they are or what gender they are. And, you know, this is one of those things. Despite everybody's protest to the contrary. I'm just making a statement.
All right.
All right, here's Sarah with traffic.
Eastbound on the Sunset still... From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, I'm Tim Riley. Don't sell or trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE. And donate that car to Heritage for the Blind. That's 1-800-2-DONATE or go to taxdeduction.com. Veteran film actor Dennis Hopper guest stars on Vegas as the head of security for a New Orleans casino when a big spender skips out on $5 million in debt. Danny and Big Ed head to New Orleans to track him down. Dennis Hopper explains his role in this episode.
Sort of a counterpart to Jimmy Kahn's character. He's the president of the flagship flagship gambling house in Vegas, and I'm with the same branch in New Orleans. And so we join up together to try to find some guy that has lost $4.5 million to them.
Talk about the growth of television during your career, Dennis.
Years ago, when I was under contract with Warner Brothers, and we were just starting in the 50s, television was just basically starting. We were doing Cheyenne and Sugarfoot and Maverick and, God, Wagon Train and all those Riflemen. So, they tried to get me to do a series. I was under contract with Warner Brothers, and I thought that no one would probably ever come out of these series and actually do film work. But I was totally wrong about that. I mean, James Garner had come out, Steve McQueen, on a lot of people came out of television and went on into film.
That's very exciting. Las Vegas airs tonight at 9 on NBC. Rain till Thursday. That's when we'll see sunshine again. Tim Riley, KOTK News.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
You just missed the best comment during the break, but, you know, we had Bob Hoskins. We had Dennis Hopper there. And I sort of, you know, because Dennis Hopper, there was a time when he was just sort of the 60s burnout guy, you know what I mean? It was just, you know, that we'd all sort of forgotten about. And I said to myself, you know, sort of aloud to know, and I said, well, when did Dennis Hopper become really cool? And Sarah, like, without missing a beat, pipes up, in the Super Mario Brothers movie! Followed by...
He plays King Koopa.
Followed by...
And Waterworld!
Yeah. And the thing is, when you're dealing with people a lot younger than yourself, you can't really tell sometimes whether they're being serious, just to give you a wind-up, as the British say, or you know... Whether they're being ironic or not. So, I mean, I suppose it's possible there's an audience for Waterworld out there somewhere in this land of ours. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. See, look at all these people. See, it's... And you can't... On the call screening, you know, computer here, it just says kind of what they want to talk about, but it really should just be hates you, thinks you are a dick, you know, wants to dance in your blood. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Susan,
yes.
In Portland is a first-time caller. What's up?
Hey, Rick. I just want to add to your list of what I think might be rockers would be the Heart, the Wilson Sisters of Heart, and also Grace Slick of the Jefferson Airplane.
Okay, first of all, let's take the Wilson Sisters. Abso-freaking-lutely. Now, see, that's what I'm talking about when I say rock. That's what I'm saying. In no world can you put the Wilson Sisters and that woman from the Pretenders on the same level, because one of those is a rock group, the other is a group listened to by aging, you know, alternative types. You know, that's really what, I mean, on the one hand, you have a rock group, on the other hand, you have a group played in Starbucks now for people who are 40 years old but want to feel like they're still on the cutting edge. You know, the rock, though, man, Heart was a great, and not just a great girl rock group, Heart was an absolutely fantastic rock group, period. Nancy Wilson was a great guitar player, and Wilson was, and still is, a fantastic singer. So I'll totally give you that. That's what I'm talking about when I say chicks who rock, the
okay.
Wilson Sisters.
What if you listen to Heart and the Pretenders?
I
still an aging 40-something? Not quite.
I'm not looking.
Absolutely.
It's
still trying to be one of the kids. Is that what you're trying to say?
Susan says yes. So I'll just let Susan answer that one. All right. Excellent.
I'm going on 50, so trust me. I listen to both.
I'll say she's 50, so she's allowed to say it.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not even 40 yet.
No, it's
give me a break.
No, look, here's the thing. Here's the thing with the Pretenders, and I don't want to get bogged down, but the Pretenders are sort of emblematic of the whole thing because there's this whole sort of... There's a whole sort of genre of music that is labeled rock by people, and it's rock to people who've never actually heard what rock really sounds like. See also Elvis Costello. Now, I love Elvis Costello. I really do. But you know what? To file Elvis Costello in the same section of the store that has Led Zeppelin and Deep Purple is just stupid.
Well,
it's
no,
just wrong.
Of course, but...
It's like people go, U2, they rock. Hey, no, they don't. You know, there's nothing about U2 that rocks. There should be... I mean, you look, let's just call it what it is. It's soft rock. That's all it is, man. It's soft, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. There's a place in the world for sort of mellow rock. But, I mean, to call it something else is just, you know, it's just misleading. It's like calling Winger a metal band or something. It's just, which happened back in the 80s. What do you like? I like metal. Like who? Warrant. And it's just incorrect more than anything else. Let's get Colin. You're on Hot Talk Tonight at KOTK. What's up?
Hey, Rick.
What do you got, man?
Damn it, she stole my thunder with Ann Wilson, because she's definitely at the top of my list.
Absolutely.
I've seen her three times, and she doesn't even need a microphone, man.
Nancy Wilson, let me talk about Nancy Wilson, just a voice, one of the all-time classic rock voices. Not even classic just for women, just absolutely flat out an amazing freaking singer. Period.
You can throw it out, knock you down, sweep you up, and yeah, you're good. Yeah. Although I'm going to have to throw in there, and this is again stretching and what you said, rock limits, Tina Turner. What do you think?
Maybe. I suppose. That stuff she was doing in the 60s, especially, when she was doing, like, the, you know, with stuff with Ike Turner. She definitely had a rock voice. She didn't always use it for rock. She had a great rock voice, though.
No, can I throw in, you know, Debbie Harry?
Same thing. You take one look at Debbie Harry, and you can tell that she's, even if she wasn't singing rock, you can tell she's a rock girl, man. You look at her, you can tell that she's daddy's grubby little girl. That's what she is. You can tell she likes it dirty. I mean, she is a rock girl, even if she was singing Heart of Glass or something. I mean, that's a girl who likes a good bit of leather now and again. All right. In the coup, Patty, you're a full-time listener. What's up?
What about Melissa Etheridge?
Yeah, what about that Melissa Etheridge?
Don't you think? No?
I suppose if, I don't know, if you find, like, Faith Hill to be way too edgy for you or something. I mean, if you find, I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, if the Pretenders are way too aggressive and loud for you. I don't know, Melissa Etheridge is one of those people that doesn't really, I don't really know what genre of music that is. It's not folk, but it doesn't really seem like it's rock either. It's sort of,
maybe in between.
I don't know. It's just sort of, you know what it is? It's like latte rock is kind of what that is to me. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm sure she's a very nice person. She's a good songwriter, but it is just sort of biscotti rock. You know, that's kind of what that is, in my opinion. It's just me. All right.
Yeah, let's put that in perspective.
Patty in the Coov.
In Rick's world.
In my world where, you know, where Poison is, you know, the second coming of Cheap Trick, which is not the world that everyone else lives in necessarily. And I don't mean any of this to sound, you know, like I'm dogging the music itself. It's just a question of, you know, of being correct when you, you know, when you talk about things. Grant, you're on a cell phone. You're on Hot Talk 90KTK. What's up?
Before I say who it is, I just want to say that, like, I don't like her music, but she definitely would rock. I think mainly because she married somebody that really rocked and just completely exploited them. Courtney Love.
Yeah, well, I mean, rocking, you know, like Courtney Love does, is a lot easier when you marry a succession, or, you know, when you date a succession of really talented songwriters, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's...
I mean, but you got to admit that album she put out, Live Through This, is pretty... I don't know any girl that could...
The one thing I will say about Courtney Love, man, in terms of rock, she's got a fantastic freaking scream, you know?
Yeah.
Anybody who's a long-time listener to the show, you know, when it comes to music, one thing, man, that I love in, you know, there's in short supply sometimes in this world of ours, is the great rock and roll scream.
Have you noticed that since Cobain's death, she hasn't put out a good album?
Well, I've noticed that every time she puts out a record, it sounds suspiciously like the music of whoever she's sleeping with at the time.
Yeah.
So, draw from that whatever conclusions you will.
One more side note that, like, his daughter looks just like him. I mean, it is almost creepy.
Oh, I know, Frances Cobain. I said, she's God.
No,
you want to feel old? You know, she's like 11 years old.
She's 11 or something.
Jesus, man, that'll make you feel freaking ancient. It's Grant on a cell phone.
You know, and she's just getting crazier by the day.
Man,
she was on Howard last week.
She was nuts, right?
She was
She thinks people are gonna kill her or something.
Yeah,
or?
She's like all paranoid and yeah.
Yeah, there's in this month's Blender, there's a horrific picture of her. She's done something, sir. She's dropping a lot of weight somehow, and the thing about her, she's got those big implants too. And so when you drop all the, here's a little key: when you've got implants and you get them put in, you have to maintain that weight. Otherwise, you just end up looking like what does Clyde say? You end up looking like one of those railroad crossing things, you know, where it's just a stick with the two huge round things out front. I mean, it's just. It ends up looking like...
With the red dots in the middle?
Yeah,
the
I mean...
light up?
It ends up looking like two turnips in a sack. And you don't want to look like that. That's a look you should stay away from. North Portland, Joel is a full-time listener in Hot Talk to Nettie KFTK. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
What do you got?
I had to set the record straight on Wendy O. Williams.
Okay.
Yeah, she... Wendy O., she never did any drugs or anything. She's with the...
How did she die?
She shot herself.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very rock, though.
Yeah.
No, that's very rock and roll. Okay. All right. Excellent. There you go. That's Joel. We come back. We'll get Terry. We'll get Mike. We'll get today's top five Simpsons episodes of all time, as decided by Matt Groening. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Sarah Dillon has the traffic.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Just a moment, we'll roll today's top five list. Top five Simpsons episodes of all time, in the opinion of one Mr. Matt Groening, celebrated his 50th anniversary this weekend. See, one little tiny email opens this whole can of rock and roll worms. Right. Hey, tonight that midget show is on. Well, it's like a two-parter, right? The littlest groom. Glenn is a single guy. I'm reading this now from the press release. Glenn is a single guy who has a boatload of confidence, even if he's a minnow of a human being, standing at just 4'5". Will he meet the girl of his dreams in this mini version of The Bachelor? Check and see if the littlest groom gets on the big roller coaster of love and rides it. There's someone who gets paid to write this. Someone gets money to sit down and write the phrase, gets on the big roller coaster of love and rides it down to the altar. There you go. So that's tonight, 8 p.m., part one of two, The Littlest Groom. All right, remember we had that guy, what was that guy, the LPA guy, Little People of America? Some dude from Tualatin or whatever was on it. I saw him on the news. He was all pitching a fit, a tiny fit, about this, The Littlest Groom. All right, Terry, you're on a cell phone. You're on Hot Talk. He was throwing a little, had some small complaints about... With the
no, just stop.
Short attention span. With the
yeah, yeah.
You thought it was the you thought it was the height of irresponsibility to. okay, hey Terry, what do you got, man?
Thanks, Rick. You know, I generally agree with your thesis. Girls can't rock, but you know, Patti Smith gets forgotten a lot. You know, this gal could bust you off some and something fierce and. I don't know where you'd put her in that list, but if you'd actually include her in that list or not.
Patti Smith, well, she gets sort of credit for being married to Fred Sonic Smith, who's from the MC5. That was a group that rocked. So Patti Smith is, I don't know, Patti Smith is one of those women who I think kind of gets referenced because the idea of Patti Smith is really great. I think it might be better than the actual reality of Patti Smith. But Grace Slick, I'll give you Grace Slick, no doubt about it. Grace Slick, I mean, you know, in that, on that, you know, even like just on the big hits, you know, when she says, you know, you want somebody to love, you know, that is a fantastic song, you know, that in the, that whole just section at the end of White Rabbit where she's just like screaming it out, it's fantastic. Here's your top five.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy.
Yeah, I love to count, don't you? Here's Tim Riley in the Gadget Newsroom.
And as animation overlord Matt Groening celebrates his 50th birthday, we ponder all that he has created, the catchphrases he has given us, and the many millions of hours of TV we have all lost inside the fictional town of Springfield. Of course, the only way to do this fairly is to go straight to the top. So here they are, the top five Simpsons episodes of all time, according to Matt Groening. Honorable mention at number 6, from season 8, Homer's Enemy.
Oh, that's the one where there's, what's his name, Frank?
Frank Grimes.
That comes in, and he competes with Homer. And the interesting thing about this episode, about Homer's Enemy, is that for the first time in a long time, because it's a sort of self-contained world, but Frank seems to be the only one who sees, like, how bizarre Springfield really is, and sort of, it's like this external commentary on the town that you don't get in a lot of those episodes.
From season 8, this is number 5, In Marge We Trust.
In Marge We Trust, which is more interesting because it's got that subplot where Homer discovers Mr. Sparkle, which is that character on the Japanese soapbox that I think turns out to be the combination of a light bulb and a fish.
That is my favorite episode.
And it's got that whole, you know, and I'm a big fan of anything that sort of, you know, depicts Japanese culture, you know, and it just, because The Simpsons especially have the special fondness for isolating the most extreme hilarious examples of Japanese media. And it's got, doesn't Mr. Sparkle, doesn't that episode have the commercial where they're watching, it's all, Mr. Sparkle, you know, and it's like the big, with the big Homer face on it. I mean, that's right there. That's worth the price of admission to that episode.
Number four from season four, A Streetcar Named Marge.
This is, because it's all a musical, too. I think A Streetcar Named Marge is an entirely musical, well, you know, but it's an episode that is a musical. Which is why, unfortunately, I mean, fortunately for us, unfortunately for them, Trey and Matt beat them to the punch by doing South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut as a musical, because The Simpsons movie really should be a musical. In a, you know, in a fair world, in some parallel world, there is a version of that that is replete with musical sections, which is really the only true way to fully get to the, you know, the absolute quality nature of The Simpsons.
Number three from season seven, Much a Poo About Nothing.
Much a Poo About Nothing, I think, is the, it features, I mean, the real money shot of this scene is when he goes into the Quickie Mart and a Pooh is there dressed up as a cowboy, affecting a bad American accent and trying to talk about the football game that took place that weekend. You know, because it's where Homer wants everybody. Homer, you know, jumps on the pro-immigration bandwagon, and then he realizes Apu's going to get kicked out of the country. It does not, however, feature the best Apu line of all time, which is, "Please do not offer my god a peanut."
And at number two, from season one, Life on the Fast Lane.
This is where Marge flirts with her bowling instructor when Homer gives her the bowling ball for her birthday. The finale of this episode is the real, I mean, it's the real highlight of it, when they do the takeoff on an officer and a gentleman, you know, when Homer is carrying Marge out to the car and he says, "I won't be back for 10.
NBC tonight.
I'll just sit here and, my entire observation is blown now. All right. Here's number one.
From season two, Bart the Daredevil.
Bart the Daredevil, which is, season two is, they really hadn't found their stride yet. About halfway through season two, they kind of started to really get on track with where they wanted to be. Several of my favorite episodes are not present here. Everyone has their own favorite episodes. I, myself, speaking simply and solely for me, I will say the episode entitled H-O-M-R, or Homer, I believe it's called, which is a take-up on NIM, I believe, the National Institute of Mental Health, from the Secrets of NIM. It's the one where Homer discovers the cause of his stupidity, which is he's got a crayon wedged inside his brain, and he takes the crayon out of his brain and becomes really, really intelligent for about the next third of the episode, only to realize that he's happier being stupid, and at the end of the episode, he shoves the crayon back into his brain after writing a touching note to Lisa, with whom he's bonded during his newly discovered smartness. All right, there you go. We'll be back to wrap it up after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Oh, ow. That wasn't me. I didn't just trip on the, how ironic was this? I just tripped and hurt myself on the Fisher Communications Management Training Book. Try not to read too much into that. All right. 503, ow. 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. See, let it begin. The flood of hate mail about getting, you can't blame me for this. You cannot blame me for the Simpsons list. It's Groening's own list. I very specifically chose the list of best Simpsons episodes as, you know, compiled by Matt Groening. Can't give me crap for that. All right. You know what we don't have in this book? I'm looking through this Fisher Communications Sales and Management Training Book, which looks suspiciously like it's never been read by the person to whom it was given. It doesn't have the whole sexual harassment. So, and what, we would get this thing, and it was always interesting. We would get the sexual harassment policy handed out to us with that little thing that you got to sign and give back, indicating that you know it's wrong to wave your genitals around at the workplace or whatever. And it was interesting because it would just appear in our box every so often, which means that there'd been an incident. You know what I mean? It's like, you know,
I remember when you had me convinced that I had done something.
Well, yeah, because it would, like, months would go, there was no regular schedule. It's like months would go by, and then one day everybody would just get, and it would be a memo saying, "This is just to remind you of our company's policy about sexual harassment. Please initial and give to your supervisor." And you knew that somebody somewhere in the office had shown, like, a hustler to the wrong person, you know? And so you knew that there was not only a sexual harassment thing waiting in your box, there was a job opening. You know what I mean? All right, 503. Where'd Steve Pellegrin go? I don't know. He was here one day and then gone the next. There's all these Stars things coming in the mail, though. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. Make a note of it because we're back in 21 hours with the KOTK Noon News Hour right here on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK, or quite possibly some other frequency. You never know. We want to thank CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten, as well as Matt Groening, Michael Jackson, Eminem, Conan O'Brien, Kristen from Accounting, Jolie from the front desk, Diana down, from downtown, and y'all. The Rick Emerson Show is produced by Sarah Dillon for the... The Rick Emerson Show is produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah Dillon for Hot Talk and Eddie KOTK. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, executive producer, 1F Matt Peterson. As always, don't let the bastards grind it out. We'll see you tomorrow at 12. Thanks for listening. Bye.